You know, several years ago, I knew a couple, and I was talking to the lady, and she started having eyesight problems. And it wasn't real bad at the time, but she said, well, it's getting worse. And I went to the doctor, and he said, I have glaucoma, or at least the beginning stages of that. So she put off getting the proper medication, the drops, whatever they do for that. And this fit right in with what her husband wanted. He said, I don't want to pay for that medication. Let's not do anything. Well, with all that, you know, procrastinating, she eventually went blind. She had no idea at the time when she was putting that off, the outcome of that. And that's mainly my point of this story, because we've all been slow to follow up on some things, and then later it has negative consequences. So we have to consider that in life, because we sometimes do things that later don't turn out as well as we thought they would. Let me give you a quick definition of the word procrastination. Anybody here procrastinated before? Yeah, same here. So procrastination is defined as the act of unnecessarily delaying or postponing something. So we've all put things off, haven't we? Every one of us, whether we're in school, we put off our homework, getting something done, a chore. So I mentioned, here's a few ways that we can procrastinate. You know, anybody ever postpone their Bible study or prayer until, like, well, I'll get that at the end of the day, and yet at the end of the day, things get filled up and we don't get time, or we get too tired to even concentrate fully on that? How about with paying bills? You know, at times we said, well, it's been sitting there for a few days and I need to get that paid, but then all of a sudden we realize when we're paying it that now it's going to be late, especially if we put it in the mail and don't pay it online, and then we might have a late fee for it. So procrastination does have those negative consequences. For some that are older, maybe avoiding yearly checkups with your doctor or your dentist. You can put that off, and I did that on a tooth years ago. Just had a little bit of a problem there, and I said, I'll put that off, and I did for a couple of years, and I realized it ate such a hole into my tooth that I had to have a crown. And that was my fault because I procrastinated getting it checked out. So we can determine to change our life, but if we fail to implement a plan, then it can have those negative things that come up. Putting off various tasks can be very negative, have a negative effect on us. In other words, we can delay action, and it can be detrimental to our health, to our well-being. It also has a spiritual implication there when we delay things. And that's more so my focus today. Many in the church over the years have delayed overcoming. Some have delayed committing to God, delayed getting baptized, to say, well, I'll do that later. Yet God has given us a window of time for preparing for his kingdom, and that takes time. We can't just develop his character overnight, so he invites us to do that day by day, and it involves every part of our life, so we need to make sure we don't put that off indefinitely. My title today is Seeking God with Our Whole Heart. The Bible reminds us not to postpone getting ready for our future in the family of God, because that is why we're here. That is why God has called us. He's invited us as his children to get ready, to be excited about that. So each of us have a responsibility in getting ready for salvation. It's been offered to us. I don't think anybody's received a bill in the mail saying you're going to have to pay for this. No, it's free. God says this is a free gift to us now as first fruits and eventually to the whole world. And yet, we can delay that. We can put off things that we know we could move along faster on. And so let's look at 3 points today that remind us to use each day to draw closer to God, to use our time wisely so that we don't lose out on salvation or other issues that may come up, but especially our salvation. So my first point today is our days are limited. Now, when we're younger, we don't think about that too much because we feel good, we're active. But as physical human beings, our time span on earth is very small. If you were to walk on the beach, you pick up one little grain of sand, and then you look at the whole beach and you think about how many grains are there. You go, this little grain is nothing in comparison to all those others. Well, in a similar way, that's how God probably views our time span. You know, he's been there for eternity, and we are just this little grain of sand that has hardly existed for, you know, maybe even long-term 70, 80, 90 years. It's nothing compared to that. And so our time is very short, but it is valuable. And God is asking us to recognize that because he says, I'm giving this to you as a gift, your future. I want you to take hold of it. So I can ask the question to each of us, how well do we use our time? The time that you've been given by God, how well do we use that? Let's begin today in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Amos 8 and verse 11. So if we believe the word of God, which I think we all do, there is a time coming when we will not have access to the word of God. And we don't always think of that day by day as we walk past our Bibles. He talks about a famine of the word. And I feel blessed to be able to not only have food every day, but to have access to God's word, his truth, a basis for life. Let's notice here Amos 8 verse 11, where the prophet says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." So consider that time. If that is in our lifetime, that people will not have access to what God is saying, to kind of help us to discern what's right and wrong out there. And so think about a time when God's word will be scarce. So are we seeking God while he may be found? That is so important to do while we have that time. We don't want to procrastinate in putting that off. The fulfillment of this verse is yet ahead of us, because today our Bibles are available. We're able to assemble. We're able to hear the words of God. We have the freedom to speak or preach this and hear it and live it. Verse 12 goes on to say, "They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro." Notice what they're doing, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So whoever falls under this, that will be a troublous time, because they're looking for God's word, but not able to come up with what they're looking for. And so we're blessed today to have God's words available to us. And as we look at our nation, we see things deteriorating. Thankfully, it may not be in our own little community, you know, regarding food or natural disasters and all the things, or war, but it is happening. And imagine a time when the Bible is literally, let's say, outlawed or unavailable, whatever it might be. I'm not sure how it'll come. And so these words better be in our mind. The words I'm referring to is the Bible. This better be in our mind, because if it's taken away, God wants us to be able to recall what we've been studying over the years. Otherwise, we can lose our way. That's what the prophet Hosea refers to in Hosea 4:6. He says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if we lose our thoughts on this, our remembrance of this, of course, God can bring it to remembrance, but that means we have to put it in there first. Let me give you a definition for seek. The word seek can mean to go in search of. It means to look for. So if you've lost your wallet, your purse, something valuable, you would go seek it out. You'd want to find it, because it's important to you, and you don't want to go through all the work of replacing that or losing that money. The word seek also means to try to discover. It means to try to acquire or gain, to make an attempt. And so when I mention the words today, search or discover or acquire, I'm referring to God, you know, and his way. Are we seeking that with all of our heart? The term seeking has to do with more than just thinking or talking about something. Notice what verse 12 said. It says, "They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." And so they're actually doing something. They're putting forth effort to find it. To actively seek a goal, it has to become our way of life. It becomes a part of our beliefs. Like, I believe this so much, and we believe this so much, that we'll go after it. We'll make an attempt to acquire it and find it and live by it. And at times, our words and actions don't line up. So let's say someone here says, "You know, I really want to lose weight." They go, "Man, I'm all about that." And yet, if they're not willing to take the time to make an attempt, which is part of the definition of seeking. In other words, we could also say, "I want to be a child of God." Someone else might say that. And yet our words need to line up with our actions. That do we go after something? Are we trying to discover God's requirements? Because he has requirements for each of us to be adopted into his family. We can't just say, "Yes, I'm signed up, that's it." No, there's work to do. And so he doesn't want us to procrastinate. So once we're called, God is asking us to put our whole heart, in other words, all our being, all our fiber, everything we've got, into walking his way. Because as we just read, there will be a time coming when there will be a famine of the word. In other words, we won't be able to access it easily. Turn with me next to Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Isaiah 55 and verse 3. You know, I'm so thankful for the God that we serve, because we know that he loves everyone. He didn't give his son's life just for us or just for those first fruits he'll call in this age. No, for everyone. No one will be left out. So the key then is, how long will we resist surrendering to God after we're called? Because it takes time to let go of our will and do his will. So Isaiah 55, verse 3 says, incline your ear and come to me. So this, you know, picture this as God saying this to us individually. He says, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Now drop down to verse 6, which ties right in with my title and message, seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, giving the implication that one day we may not be able to find God as he is when he makes himself known to us. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So our Bibles give us nourishment, and we're told to grow. Just like the plants out there, if you have a garden, if you have vegetation around your house, it takes moisture, it takes, you know, water to through rain and watering it to thrive and to do well. Well, let's read a few more verses here, because that ties in with what Isaiah writes, verse 8, where he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so I think all of us understand this analogy of how important that is to the plants around us. But then God ties it in for us to understand regarding his word. He goes, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So we all know that vegetation will shrivel and die out if it's not watered over time. And it's no different for us. God is asking us to prepare so that we're ready for what he has planned for all of mankind. You know, the kingdom of God is coming. We don't know when, but he says, get ready. Your little time span on earth, whether it's in the first 1,000 years of mankind or in the last days, he says that's when you need to get ready, if he's called us then. And so the Webster's Dictionary defined procrastination as to put off intentionally or habitually. So we don't want to do that with things in life, but especially with God's way. He's saying this is really important. Don't let that go. And yet humans do this all the time. We postpone making decisions or starting projects that we know those need to be done. That's important for the house, for the family, whatever it might be. To delay a project intentionally can have negative consequences. And when we do that, it can add stress to us, but we're the ones putting it off, but it still comes back on us. And it promotes poor performance, and we end up missing deadlines in some cases based on the type of thing we're delaying in. And so whether we have low motivation or lack of self-control, the Bible, on the other hand, invites us to be doers, to really get up and go. They're like, the kingdom is coming. Jesus Christ is offering a salvation. What are you going to do about it, my children? You know, like, what can we do? So I found an article entitled Procrastination, and this was reviewed by the Psychology Today staff. Here's a few paragraphs of what they said. Everyone puts things off sometimes, but procrastinators chronically avoid difficult tasks and may deliberately look for distractions. So as I'm reading this, it might remind us of what we've done. You know, like, oh, I don't really want to do this. I'll put it off and I'll distract myself with something else. Procrastination tends to reflect the person's struggles with self-control. Habitual procrastinators represent approximately 20% of the population. So that's really bad. If you get into that category, you're just, as a habit, you're doing that way of life. Procrastination also involves a degree of self-deception. At some level, procrastinators are aware of their actions and their consequences, but changing their habits requires even greater effort than completing the task in front of them. So we can be aware of it, but we kind of just fool ourselves like, well, I don't need to do it. I'll go over and do something else. Then it gives us a couple examples. Students who routinely procrastinate tend to get lower grades. Workers who procrastinate produce lower quality work. So it's interesting. They've done studies on this. And this ties in with what God is saying. He's saying, don't delay. You know, don't put off getting ready for my kingdom. So on every level, physically or spiritually, avoiding tasks or decisions is unhealthy. And man recognizes that, and God even more so tells us to beware. Look at the first part of 11, verse 11 here that we read. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. So God is saying, since I'm watering you with my words, I'm nourishing you, I want you to grow. Are you delaying that? Are you procrastinating? Are we allowing his precious words to return to him empty? So why do I bring up this topic? Because it also affects, procrastination does, it affects getting ready for the kingdom of God. It ties in with each one of us and our choices every day. We've all delayed studying at times by filling our day with numerous other chores. And it's interesting how our minds can avoid doing things and kind of, not at the end of the day, kick ourselves, but kind of repeat that over and over. And yet we can claim something's really important to us, and yet we let it go continually. So, for example, I was cleaning out my garage in preparation for the move, and I saw up on the ceiling, I put two hooks in, I hung two bicycles up there. You know when I hung those up there? 7.5 years ago when I moved to that house. I'd never taken them down once. I'd never ridden them. And so I don't know if I was procrastinating because I just felt like I didn't have time and I didn't even have a goal to ride. But when I saw that, I go, why am I going to haul this to another state and store it in another garage? So I set it on the curb, and within 5 minutes, somebody picked it up. Now, hopefully they ride it more than I do, because it was an older man, and he said, is this free? And he just took it. So hopefully he'll do better with it. But my point here is it's easy to postpone things. You know, you might look around your house and say, what if I got a goal here and a job there and a chore over here, and I just keep putting it off? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 as we explore this point just a little bit more. Our days are limited. Our days are limited. So here, Proverbs 1 and verse 20. So I ask the question as you're turning there, is our view of ourselves in line with God's view? Right? God knows exactly where we all stand. He knows our intellect. He knows our habits, our weaknesses. He knows our sins. He knows exactly. But do we evaluate ourselves the same way he sees us? That's important to consider. Let's read a few verses here. Proverbs 1, verse 20, we'll start with. It says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Now we'll drop down to verse 24. And it says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. So if you put this as God's word saying this to us, he says, if we delay our growth, our development, and put it off long enough, there's a point when we will call out, and he goes, you've already used up your time. Your time, as this point says, our days are limited. You've used it up. I've given you plenty of time. You just procrastinated so long. So that's important for us to think about. Our Father and Jesus Christ are willing to help us. But if we reject them long enough, it has dire consequences, especially regarding our salvation. So think about our parents when they raise us. Most parents would try to have their children eat a balanced diet. You know, you can't just eat pizza and nothing else. You can't just eat your spaghetti or your hamburger and nothing else. Like, put some vegetables in there, put some salad in there. And as kids, we tend to think, that won't bother me, and we can get away with it for years. But as we get older, if we didn't follow what our parents said, we may pay a price, and we can't go back and undo that. You know, let's say 30 years of skipping a balanced diet. And so it works physically or spiritually. So we cannot make up for whether it's the poor eating habits or our lack of study. We can't make that up in just a short time. And that's why God is reminding us to wake up and spiritually to be watered or fed or nourished by Him while we have time. But let's read in Proverbs 1 here. Let's read, continuing in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. So God is saying, listen to my wisdom now. Don't let that get past you. Don't waste years of your life ignoring what he's telling us to get ready for. Because he's saying later it will be too late to cry out to me. You'll have lost your opportunity. You know, just like we read in the Bible about those who are, you know, weeping and gnashing their teeth at the end time because they don't make it into the kingdom. But it's because they procrastinated. They didn't do their part. And so no matter our age, our time is limited. Because God tells us a famine of the word is coming. And no matter how that comes, we have to be ready and we have to be seeking God now so that that doesn't affect us negatively. Point number two, redeem your time. Now, it's not that we haven't heard these points before, but I think it's worth mentioning because God mentions it in His Word. And so redeeming our time refers to all age groups, not just those with a few remaining years left, right? We always have elderly in every congregation, but it refers to every single person. Our life is a great blessing from God. And He's saying, please use your days wisely. Even if you're home for the summer and you're out of school, don't just lay around all summer and, you know, be on the web or on your phone, but do something. Be profitable. Read, study, get a job. Use your time wisely. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and notice God's instructions there. Ephesians 5, verse 14. So if you're like me, our mind can deceive us because we ignore certain things or we view things inaccurately. And God is saying, I want you to think straightly. Rightly, so that we're in line with Him. Notice here what Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 14. He says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, in other words, that you walk accurately, properly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So God is talking to each of us, right? He calls us His elect. He wants to get our attention. He's reaching out. He's asking us to think about why He's saying this to us. Because who else is He willing to wake up to start living by the laws of God? He's not talking to the world right now. He's got our attention. He's got our commitment. Like we baptized and we said, we want your way, God. And yet we've all wasted time, and we can't change those years behind us. But He's asking us to do better as we go forward. So consider that the Bible could be banned one day, or could be altered. Let's say AI rewrites it, and everybody accepts it, and they say, get rid of these books. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter how it comes. God says, I'm warning you, put these words in your mind before it's too late. So if the Bible disappears, how are we going to understand what the will of the Lord is? Because if you're like me, it's easy to forget what we read. We can read it one night, read it again, and go, oh, that takes on a different meaning. And I understand it a little bit deeper. So we need the continual study. And a vital part of redeeming the time is seeking God while He may be found. Once again, there may be a time when he isn't as available as we are used to. You know, if we lost our eyesight, we would say, you know, I wished I'd read more, traveled more, whatever it is. But we can't go back. And so while we still have eyesight, or while we are Christians reading the Bible, we better use that time when we can read and study and grow and visit people. So once again, God doesn't want us to waste our time. He's asking us to grow in love and faith. He's asking us to grow in every possible way so that we're ready for the kingdom, because none of us are worthy of that. He's saying, my dear children, I know you have inadequacies, but I want you to be as ready as you possibly can using my help. We'll go next back to Psalm 19. Psalm 119, I should say, and verse 2. So when we seek God, it's a step beyond just having a vision of something. Like, I can see that in my mind, I can picture it, but no, seeking is action. And we're told to seek God's kingdom. Therefore, we're seeking his laws, his ways, we're practicing living by them. In other words, we're making an attempt, as the definition stated. So Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, who seek him with the whole heart. This is a requirement for each of us. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Now we'll drop down to verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And let's read down to verse 10. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So we see the idea embedded in this about not putting off reading God's word and applying it, living by his holy and righteous laws. This is the attitude that David had. We read about his other sins, but God shows us that David was a man after his own heart because he followed these rules that God gave him. And just like all of us, we mess up, but God's saying, get back up, keep running your race. And so to seek after God's kingdom means getting rid of traits that aren't allowed into the kingdom. Make sure we don't hold on to those and think we can walk in. God says, get rid of those, repent of those. So what will we do with our remaining days, no matter what age you are? You know, we got teenagers here, we got youth, we got young adults, we got grandparents, we got great-grandparents, all these age groups. So God informs us that we better make the most of it. Verse 10 again says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So our daily trials are a good indicator of how we will do when severe trials come. So the trials that spring up in your life, how well do you do with them? Because are we close enough to God to see the bigger picture, to understand that God is teaching us? He's training us. He's building patience in us as we go through these trials. You know, I look at the example of ancient Israel and think about how blessed they were. Right? God says, you're my special people, and I will be with you, and I'll walk with you. He led them through the desert. He gave them his laws. And yet, they started to drift from God, and he warned them, continually warned them, this and that, and yet they wouldn't listen. And as we know, they went into captivity, because they didn't really seek God with all their heart. They were looking at other things. Other ideas were more important to them. And so we can learn from that. Can you imagine going into captivity because you procrastinated so long on something that God says this is important? And we could do that. I mean, this nation will most likely go into captivity with what's coming based on Bible prophecy. And so as Christians, it's vital to stay on the right path. It's important to redeem our time, so that we don't waste the valuable hours and days and months that God gives us. Just think, if captivity could have been avoided by Israel, and then even the brother Judah, that 100 plus years later, they went into captivity. They didn't redeem the time and learn from their brother's mistakes. So hopefully we can handle the difficult times down the road better than they did. Because if we delay our spiritual journey, we have to consider it could cost us our lives. I'm not talking about the physical life. I'm referring to eternal life. That's how important it is. Let's go back to the New Testament. We'll look at Matthew 24, a very familiar section of scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 44. So we have to evaluate our lives, determine the path we're on, and then adjust. And God says, unless you continually seek me, we have no idea of the level of depravity that we can go to. We can just look out in the world and say, look at where they've gone. We have the same potential as human beings. It's the closeness to God. It's the cleansing of our sins that bring us back in a relationship with him. We know the world is on a wrong path, and God is inviting us to not return to that. Let's look at a few verses here. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So wouldn't it be shocking to us in 5 years of Christ's return? We don't know when, but I don't think a lot of us would say, I'm not living today with the idea that the Great Tribulation could happen in a year and a half, or Christ could return in five. And because I think we change our life real quick if we realized, oh, we've been given a time, but God doesn't give us one. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So doing. In other words, redeeming the time, making the most of each day. It doesn't mean we study all day. We don't pray all day. We don't have to be like some of these religions that just focus only on one little thing and they don't have a balanced life. God's saying you still have to care for your home and be there for your kids. And it's balance in all that. And our chief shepherd is warning us to get ready now, to seek him while he still can be found. It's about following Christ. It's about listening to his words, removing the sin from our lives so that we don't separate ourselves. Because as we sin, we do push God away. And we have to be careful to draw closer to him once again. And so God's word is available to us now. And he's simply inviting each one of us through his words to use our time so we can have this good, solid relationship that we can stand on as times get tougher. Let's look at one last point. Point number three, God's promises are worth fighting for. God's promises are worth fighting for. We know that Jesus Christ is our judge, and so his opinion counts, right? Our neighbor can say something, our mate can say something, but Jesus Christ, whatever he says really counts. So you and I may feel like we're at, let's say, our relationship with God is at the 90% level. We're doing really well. But my point is, would God say the same thing of our relationship? Because he has an accurate view of how we're doing. He knows how to judge us perfectly. And so we have to make sure that our opinion is in line with God's. For example, let's say you were a college student and you thought, well, you know, if I get a good education, I can get higher pay, I can have a nice job. And yet if you go to college and you party all the time, you don't work hard at getting good grades, you're not excited about your future that much, you're more like just having fun. Well, what happens when you flunk out? The very goal that you said you wanted, the good job, the better pay, their efforts would not be in line with that. And so it's easy for humans to envision themselves as doing better than we are. And God refers to that as a type of blindness. And we can, as Christians, blind ourselves from how we're doing, not only in those around us, but in God's eyes, more importantly. So let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 17. As we look at these promises that God says that we should really fight for. Ephesians 4. And verse 17. You know, the problem with stagnating and staying where we are, it's easy to go back into the world, to really not see how bad it is and to say, you know, I can walk carefully and be in the world and kind of party and do my own thing, but it doesn't work that way. God's saying completely come out. Ephesians 4 verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But brethren, I think we recognize that we too can be blind. Just like that lady had glaucoma. And she was blind to how bad it would get, and one day she'd lose her sight. But spiritually, we can be blind to God's ways as well. Verse 19. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. So God gave his son's life so that we could be cleansed from our sins, from our weaknesses that we fall into. And he wants us instead to grow in his grace and knowledge, to build his character in our lives. So that is our goal in life. And if we don't improve, then we're truly not seeking God while he can be found. We're not seeking him with our whole heart. And so it's important that we don't just walk away from here today, myself included, and we go, oh, that was nice to hear God's words, but if we don't apply it, if we don't put effort into it, nothing will change. And so it's sad to watch that some drift back into the world and come under Satan's sway. We can do that as well. We're no different than those individuals other than our determination, our commitment to seek God in a proper way. Verse 22 here of Ephesians 4. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So life is a struggle, right? I think a lot of us say, we've been through some tough times, but God's way is worth standing up for. He's saying, I want you to fight for it. And anything that we value, we're usually willing to put forth the extra effort. And with God's Spirit, we can grow. We can endure. We can even have a sense of peace when we're going through trials. And that's not easy. And each of us go through these things. And God is asking us to let him be in our lives so we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And so a future of holiness and righteousness is what God is asking of us. It's what he's wanting us to have. And it's up to us to choose and fight for what he offers. Let's go next to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So, brethren, you know, the Sabbath is such a blessing because it helps us, reminds us, slows us down to think about what God is offering us. Because otherwise, we can get so caught up in our daily work and routine that we just kind of mindlessly go through it, thinking, oh, we'll just keep up with it, and then we'll vacation, and we'll party, and we'll go see the kids, and we'll go all these things. But God's saying, slow down, have this Sabbath rest, and then implement that throughout the week of the study and the growing closer to God. But he wants us to have a vision. Otherwise, he knows we can give in and go back to our old ways. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So right there, verse 4, talking about these precious promises, things that we can lose sight of in our daily life, and that God is willing to give them to us. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. So notice the steps. Once again, there's things to do. That's why God says, I want you to redeem the time. I really want you to think about that, but also focus on the promises that he's offered us. And verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So in the flesh, it's hard to picture becoming spirit one day, isn't it? To like not have this physical body, to not have the aches and pains, to not have the memory loss, whatever it might be. But God says, that's what I want to give to you. I want you to live forever. And so we know that we can trust God. We know that he has the power to follow through on all his words. And so his promises, which are precious, they are worth fighting for. And we need to remember that. But our part is striving. It's really putting forward the effort, you know, to fight, as God says. Let's continue in verse 8. here of Ephesians 4. Nope, well, 2 Peter 1, I should say, verse 8. It says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So just like going back to the where God says he doesn't want his word to come back to him empty, here he's saying he wants us to be fruitful. He doesn't want us to shrivel up and die, you know, if we're attached to the vine. Verse 9, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren," to me, whenever I read therefore in here, it's like, stop, take notice. Here's a kind of a concluding remark. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." So, brethren, the Greek word for stumble refers to failing. It's referring to you will never fail at salvation. We do fall down, but God allows us to get back up. He helps us to get up. He forgives us, and he walks by our side and lifts us up. But he doesn't want us to fail at our very purpose in life. So we need to remember that. Verse 11. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So the kingdoms of this world are temporary, right? That might be some country is really wealthy, doing well, their cities are really expanding, the people are happy for a while, but we know they'll all come to nothing. But yet God's government will always continue. And so we seek a kingdom that is coming that is so different than what the world we live in. And so God has painted a clear picture for his children to envision. He's saying, "I want you to see how glorious it will be under a righteous king with wonderful rules and a God who speaks truth. He never changes his mind. He never goes back on his word." Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. So everything physical eventually breaks down, right? I mean, we notice that. The earth, things we make, things we buy, it breaks down. But we have an inheritance waiting for us that God says will never cease. And that's good to know. That means these precious promises we can fight for and know that, oh, wait, they're no longer around because they decayed or, you know, they fell apart, whatever it is. No, God's way is not that way. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So what God sets before us will always exist. We know it's accomplished through God's power, right? His very spirit. God is spirit. And he's saying, "I can do these things." And I have it in his mind. He's told us what he's going to do. He will not falter on that in the least. Verse 9, if we drop down to verse 9 here in 1 Peter 1, it says, "Receiving the end of your faith." You go, what is that? Well, the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you," speaking to us. And so that's worded a little bit differently. And the word "end" there, that, you know, the end of your faith, that word can be translated as outcome. And that makes more sense to me. So I wish we could write that God would write this out so it speaks clearly to us. But at times we have to study and bring those words in. And so God says the outcome of your faith is the salvation that he's offering us. That's our purpose. That's our future. That's our inheritance. And so that's hard to picture, but God is saying that each of us can receive salvation. And just as Jesus Christ endured, he's saying, "I want all of you to do the same, to follow his example." And so the requirements for salvation are listed in this chapter, you know, the faith along with the obedience. In other words, God is saying, "I want you not only to believe what I say, but just to live by it. Then you will have that living faith." Let's read a couple other verses here in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. So here's this, the word "therefore" again. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the word, you know, gird up the loins, it means put up a defense. It means, you know, basically you're fighting for what God has set before us. He goes, don't give up. You know, run your race with all effort that you can. Continuing then, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because as it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So our lives, you know, our stay on earth, God created us. He's asking us, he's inviting us, he's encouraging us to really think about how we're living. You know, do we live holy lives? Which is only possible through God, who is holy, to put his Holy Spirit in us. And so we need a deep respect for God. You know, one of the things Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, was, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. He continues with, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So God sees beyond the walls of our house. He knows the thoughts in our mind, and he will judge us for that. So we need to have a proper mindset on how God views us, because it's his final decision whether we're in the kingdom. We can say, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I think I'll be there. That doesn't count for a lot if God's view is different. So one of the hardest things for man to do is to submit. You know, to literally, like in prayer, to bow your head before God with proper reverence, to bend your knees as in prayer, but to be in that mindset before God because of how great he is, creating the earth and the heavens, creating us, putting us here, providing the food, setting the angels around us, all the things that he does, he's asking us to be holy. In other words, to be sacred in a way, to be morally pure. Because he has called the weak of the world, and he's asking us to transform or transition from being weak to being strong, you know, strong in him, living by his laws. Our Father helps us with every step, right? He created us. He gave us laws. He provides his armor. He calls us. He knows exactly when to do that. It's not by chance that we're all sitting here. God specifically calls us. The Father does. He gives us his Spirit. He gave his Son's life for us. And that applies to each one of us, that we can each call upon that through, you know, his death and resurrection, the spilling of his blood, that we can be forgiven. And to know that our penalty for sin has been paid. So we are foolish to ignore that sin and not take on that blessing of having our transgression forgiven. God helps us to overcome. He won't forsake us. And we could go on and on with the promises that he's given us. He's creating a family. And yet, on the other hand, we have Satan over here that's trying to destroy everything that God is doing. We know God will prevail. But we have to be careful that we don't get caught in the middle and get pulled this way and that way, that we need to draw closer to God and grow daily. And so God calls us the elect. He calls us saints. And he's referring to those that are led by the Spirit of God. And we know the process for receiving that Spirit through baptism, through repentance, laying on of hands. But God's ultimate goal is for us to mature, for us to bear fruit, for us to be spiritually strong, and to develop a better mind, the mind of Christ. This is what God is inviting us all to do, and we have the potential to do that. So are we committed to following our Lord and Master and growing in God's grace and knowledge? Are we willing to do that? And I know we're already doing that, so I'm saying to a higher level, with more effort, because these are areas that we can grow in, because they're very important to God. And he's asking us to wake up and think about whether we're willing to take them on. Verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So we really need to follow every word of God, right? All these scriptures, there's so much in there. And at times we might say, well, I do that and that, but there's other verses that I may not do and you may not do. And so the words of God include obedience, faith, and love. Love towards God and love towards our fellow man. And so it takes a continual mindset of thinking about how we can improve. And so as the world pushes their agenda on us and on others, will we be able to distinguish the truth that is embedded in the Bible, the very words of God? Because if this is taken away one day, we better know it well enough to be able to stand on it and be willing to die for it. We need to ask God to write His laws on our hearts, on our minds. So in conclusion, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse 12. So one of the statements that Christ stated was, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So he's talking about these words, the Bible, the words of God. And do we look at them in that sense of how precious they are? Revelation 22, verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly." So think about Christ saying this to each one of us personally. He goes, "Hey," and I could just say your names, including mine. See, Christ saying, "I'm coming. Are you going to be ready? And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Verse 14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." So do we drink in of his words? Do we believe them? Do we obey them? Because it's going to affect our future. Verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." So look at how precious the promises of God are. He wants us to, take them in, live by them, and be excited about life. Yes, there's the trials, the problems, the weaknesses. There is death. There's trauma and heartache. But God says, look at the bigger picture. And all these other things can help us to grow as we put our focus on God, as we put our trust in Him and don't let the issues of life pull us away from our true purpose. Because God's kingdom is a great treasure. He's saying, don't procrastinate on getting ready for it if you believe in it. If you don't believe in it, just keep doing what we're doing. But he's saying, if you really know it will come to pass, then don't put it off. Because if we wait too long, we could forfeit God's amazing gift of salvation. He doesn't want us to do that. And he's reminding us of that. So we looked at 3 points today. Our days are limited. Redeem your time. And number 3, God's promises are worth fighting for. So if we truly want to be a part of God's kingdom, then now is the time to seek God with our whole heart. Have a good rest of your Sabbath.